You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. In today's segment of Surrounded by History, we will explore the history and stories behind one of our local landmarks. So here, I'm going to give you a hint of where we're going today.
All right.
Here's your hint. The great American pastime.
Baseball. We're talking baseball. ISG Field, or?
I think we should talk about, yeah, right. ISG Field, all a right. place that where you spend a lot of your summer days and nights.
I do.
I don't know if you're officially or if you're honorarily a member of the Mankato Moondogs.
Probably honorary.
But have you ever heard the ball field called Key City Park?
I have not.
Oh, interesting. Well, today we're going to dig into the story behind the home of today's Mankato Moondogs baseball.
Batter up! It's time to be surrounded by history.
I love it. So I believe I can fairly say that you are a huge baseball fan.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Baseball is also one of my favorite sports to watch. But I must admit, putting this together, there is so much about the history of the game and the leagues that I had absolutely no idea. So please bear with me as I refer to some of our early baseball history to get us started.
Okay.
The history of baseball in the United States dates back to the 18th century, when boys and amateur enthusiasts played a baseball-like game by their own informal rules using homemade equipment. The popularity of the sport grew, and amateur men's ball clubs were formed in the mid-1800s. The first officially recorded baseball game in the United States took place on June 19th, 1846 in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Okay.
Minnesota and Blue Earth County saw a rise in the sport in the late 1800s. But that's a story for another day. It's another rabbit hole for me to investigate. I'm kind of obsessed now. So today, though, we're going to chat about the first professional baseball team to play in Mankato. Did you know that there was one?
I did not know that.
And the ballpark that Fritz built.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So Fritz Taylor.
Which is already a great baseball name.
Fritz Taylor, this name should sound familiar, was a Mankato restaurateur and golf course owner. So remember our podcast that we talked about golf courses?
Yeah.
He was one of the owners of South View Country Club.
Oh, okay. Okay. Same guy. Got it.
Yep. And he was the driving force behind the Mankato Mets. The story goes that the New York Mets scout, Charlie Fry, had his eye on Mankato for a minor league team.
Hmm.
Yeah. What?
Okay.
Okay. Charlie played baseball with the Mankato Merchants during the 1955 and 50 through 57 seasons. The Mankato Merchants were a semi-pro baseball team, part of the Southern Mini League in the 1930s through the 1950s. Again, this is another area where we're just going to talk about that in the future, in a future podcast.
Awesome. We're going to talk more baseball in the future.
We're going to keep talking baseball.
Right.
So just put a pin in the Southern Mini League because I can't go into that today.
Got it.
So back to Fritz Taylor. He was a big fan of the Mankato Merchants, and he was a huge advocate for Mankato and for the baseball scene. So Charlie, with the New York Mets, reached out to Fritz about the possibility of Mankato supporting a franchise in the Northern League, which was a Class A minor league. And I've now learned that Class A minor league is the fourth highest level of play in minor league baseball in the United States. Okay?
Okay.
I didn't know this. I had to look all this stuff up. So Fritz took it from there. He loved the idea. He pulled together a group of interested Mankato men to investigate the proposal. There was interest, so Fritz represented Mankato at the major minor league meetings in Columbus, Ohio in 1966. It was there that the Northern League voted its sixth franchise to Mankato.
Wow.
But Fritz's contributions didn't stop there. He provided the impetus in the formation of the profit-making corporation, which was to become known as the Mankato Area Baseball Corporation, okay. which would sponsor the New York Mets Class A franchise, Mankato Mets, in the Northern League. Fritz and the corporation worked out plans with Mankato's city council to build a 1,160-seat concrete stadium to be called Key City Park, to be used by the Mankato Mets. Fritz headed a local effort to underwrite the operation through sales of team stock at $10 a share. A grandstand was built at Key City Park, and bleachers were added to increase seating capacity to 2,500. To drum up fan interest, a banquet was held at Cato Ballroom in February of 1967. The event featured New York Mets manager Wes Westrum and former New York Yankee and then coach of the Mets, Yogi Berra.
What?
Also on hand to tell tales was 87-year-old Davy Jones, a Detroit Tiger teammate of Ty Cobb, who had moved to Mankato. Okay, we got to talk about that more in a little bit.
I was say, okay.
I know, is your mind blowing?
I was like ready to raise my hand and stop you for a second. I'll let you go.
So as you can imagine, Fritz Taylor became the president or general manager of the new Mankato Mets. As president, he took care of team payroll, salary money came from the parent club, and oversaw local expenses that included equipment and ballpark expenses.
Okay,
opening day for the Mankato Mets and the Key City Park was on Sunday, June 24th, 1967. The Mankato Mets entertained Sioux Falls Packers, which is a farm club of the Cincinnati Reds.
Wow.
You know, I realize I have to go back. So Key City Park is ISG Field.
Well, okay. I guess I knew that part. Okay. I assumed the name was going to... But is there a reason they went to Key City Park? Is that just during the time when they were calling this Key City?
Oh, yeah. We're going to get to that.
Oh, we're getting... Okay.
I know. I read your mind. I knew where you were going.
All right.
Okay. So back to that opening day game. Okay. The 1967 Mankato Mets were an eager group of 25 players, along with manager Carl Bud Peterson. Roland Parcell was the president of the Northern League. He was there to see the league's newest franchise unveiled. And Davy Jones, all-time great outfielder for the Detroit Tigers, threw out the first ball.
All right, wait a second now. So we're talking Davy Jones. The Davy Jones, like the one who played in the majors. He was in 1901 to 1918, something like that. He had a .270 career batting average, over 1,000 hits. Jones spent much of his career playing with outfielders with the Detroit Lions, but he also played along Hall of Famers Ty Cobb and Wahoo Sam Crawford.
Yep,
that same guy.
That guy.
Speedy leadoff dude, reliable run scorer. Cobb, Crawford, all follow him in the lineup. They followed him in the lineup, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the same guy.
Same guy.
All right, they made him the speedy guy. He had tremendous range in the outfield. He was the Detroit Tigers team through their three consecutive American League pennants.
Yep. That guy.
He lived in Mankato?
He lived in Mankato.
So crazy.
So here's the story.
All right.
So when Davy retired from baseball, he was 38 years old. And he went into pharmacy.
Oh.
So he actually purchased a pharmacy while he was still a baseball player. And his brother ran the pharmacy. And then when he retired, he went to pharmacy school and became a pharmacist.
Okay.
And so then he ran a very successful pharmacy in Detroit. Later in life, he married his high school sweetheart after a lapse of over 50 years. So they were high school sweethearts.
They found each other again.
And her name was Margaret Lloyd, and she was from Mankato. The couple settled in Mankato after they were married, and that's how he was part of opening day.
Wow.
In fact, if you look up information about Davy Jones, he died in Mankato in 1972. He is buried in Detroit because I think that's where his love always was with baseball. But he did live and die in Mankato.
Wow. So crazy.
It is. And I've got to tell you, there are so much information about Davy Jones, some great stories, so many contributions to baseball and to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. Very, very interesting guy, worth checking out. But obviously for this story, we need to know he's Davy Jones, former Detroit Tiger, who threw out the opening pitch for the inaugural season of the Mankato Mets.
Okay.
Okay.
He's a stud.
He's a stud.
I mean, okay. All right.
So
I knew the name when you said it, and I was like, wait a second.
I know. So pretty cool. Pretty cool. He was here. He threw out the opening pitch. So back to opening day. During the game, the Mets' first baseman, Tom Robson, who later went on to play in the majors, hit a fastball far over the scoreboard and left center field, which, according to spectators, quote, didn't stop rolling until it got to the Sears parking lot, end quote. So that the building's still there. It was just being used by different purposes now. The Mets won their opener 5-4 in 10 innings despite a 16-strikeout performance by the Packers pitcher. Two other players from that original team, Rich Hacker and Ernie McAlley, also went on to play in the majors. This would be the first of 35 Northern League games at Key City Park that first season. The Northern League included teams in Duluth, which were part of the Chicago White Sox, St. Cloud with the Minnesota Twins, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which were from Cincinnati, Huron, South Dakota, Philadelphia, and Aberdeen, South Dakota with Baltimore.
Okay, wow.
Fritz was even named Northern League Executive of the Year in 1967. It all looked like the Mankato Mets baseball was a hit.
Yeah.
But...
Oh.
The 1968 season was not as great, and the club floundered. Attendance languished, barely hovering around 100 in attendance, and the operation barely broke even. The New York Mets severed ties with Mankato in 1968, and the professional baseball's short run in South Central Minnesota was over.
They really didn't get much of a chance at all then, did they?
No.
Not even one bad season. Like, nope, bye.
Yeah, they were done. So 2 years, we got to have a minor league team in Mankato.
I feel like I have a lot of questions. I want to talk about the minor league team. I want to talk about how cool it is that was here and that why is there not one now? But then also go backwards to the ballpark.
Yes,
like, why
exactly.
was it named Key City? Mankato had this nickname for being Key City.
Right.
And
how did it get its name?
Yeah.
How did it get its name? Okay, that story goes back to the summer of 1924. The Mankato Free Press and the Chamber of Commerce collaborated to, quote, find a suitable and original nickname for Mankato, which will in the future give the town atmosphere and character, end quote.
Hmm. Okay.
So they opened a community-wide nickname contest with prizes for the winning name. So as you can imagine, there were many different suggestions, some based on Mankato's geography, including Basin City, Hills City, Valley City, Two Rivers. Others reflected the economics in the area, Flower City, Palmer Mill, Rock City, the Hospital City, the Shopping Center, the Business City. I'm kind of glad none of these stuck.
Yeah.
George Raymer proposed the name Rapid City because Mankato was, quote, rapid in business transactions, rapid in athletics, rapid in social lines, end quote.
Wow.
Other submissions were idealistic. The Farmer's Paradise. Wasn't that a song?
Yeah, feels like it could have been.
The Rainbow City, Paradise Valley.
Paradise City.
The Only City and Utopia. The winner was Emma Davis, who received $10 for her winning entrance of Key City.
Wow. I mean, $10 is big in 1924, probably.
Exactly. Exactly.
Seems like a little bit of undermining the price.
However, there's a little bit of controversy.
Oh, no.
Because Key City was not completely an original idea for Mrs. Davis. She recalled seeing a map of Minnesota that indicated Mankato's place by placing, or Mankato's location, by placing the letter K in the town's name on the bend of the river, and that K was designed to look like a key. So this map was an advertisement on the back page of a program for the 1911 State Sunday School Convention that was held in Mankato.
You've held so many conventions.
I know. The program, which was sent to about 30,000 people, called Mankato, quote, the key to Minnesota, end quote. That designation was the idea of the reverend of the Congregational Church, who was the chair of the publicity committee for that convention. So so she kind of took it. She turned it into Key City rather than the Key to Minnesota. And so that's how we got our name.
Yeah.
So Key City. Simple, easy to remember, a great visual, was widely used. The slogan mirrored the community's personality, character, and ambitions. And Mankato, the Key City, the Key to Minnesota, demonstrating both what the town and even the state had to offer.
Oh, I like it. I like that. But then the park was named Key City to start. Then somewhere along the line, we came into Frank and Rogers.
Yeah, I think we should talk about that after we take a little break.
Oh, all right, let's do that then. So far, blowing my mind with the fact that we had a minor league team, like an actual minor league team here in Mankato for the Mets. And it only lasted a season. So, or two seasons.
But two seasons.
The second was pretty ugly.
Yeah, it was.
So we learned just a little bit ago why it's called Key City and why the ballpark got named that.
Right.
But what about Franklin Rogers Park? When did that come along?
Yes. So after the Mankato Mets ended, the Key City Park still served baseball needs for our community. The name of the field was changed in 1977 to Franklin Rogers Park. Also, we've heard it known as the Frank.
Forever known as the Frank, is no matter how much the field changed names now.
I think it's still always be known as the
that's
Frank.
That's a great name.
It is, and it's actually the longest running name for that field. So it's going to go down in the history that way. So its namesake, Franklin Rogers, was the editor of the Free Press from 1956 until his very untimely death in 1966. He was first employed in 1929 as the sports editor and later became news editor and then managing editor. He was an active participant in softball, both as a player and as a league president. He was a staunch supporter of baseball, beginning with the Mankato Blue Sox amateur team and the Key City Beverages and the Mankato Merchants semi-pro teams of the 1930s and 40s. Don't you want to know more?
I want to know more about the Key City Beverages. Like, tell me more about them.
That was the name of the team.
It's like, yeah, well, they got the Milwaukee Brewers. Let's just call ourselves the Key City Beverages.
So Key
We're not
going to
just be beer.
Key City Beverages was a company, a bottling company.
Oh, okay.
So it's like saying you're the Radio Mankato team.
Oh, like the sorry for saying the Green Bay Packers. That was a company.
There you go. Okay. There you go. Okay. But see, all of these teams, I want to know more. Anyway, okay. Semi-pro teams, all in the 30s and 40s. Okay. So Franklin Rogers was also an advocate of college and high school athletics and led a number of campaigns to, get this, increase the number of tennis courts in the city. Interestingly, there's tennis courts at Franklin Rogers Park. They don't get used very well,
no,
but they...
that's right. They've been turned into a basketball court now, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
So over the years, there were other amateur teams that came and went through Mankato and the Frank, including the Mankato Merchants, the Mankato Twins, Mankato Mashers, all stuff I want to talk about another day.
Tease.
I'm a little obsessed now. In 2002, the Northwoods League, which is the Summer Collegiate Wood Bat League, which began in 1994, added the Mankato Moondogs franchise. Their first season, the Mankato Moondogs, finished with 33 wins and 31 losses. Today, the Northwoods League is broken into two divisions. I did not know this. I don't know. You, as an honorary Moondog, you probably knew this.
Yeah.
The Great Plains, with the Moondogs and nine other teams in Minnesota, North Dakota, Western Wisconsin, and Northern Iowa, and the Great Lakes Division. The Northwoods League is a leader in the development of elite college baseball players. It is the largest organized baseball league in the world with 22 teams.
I did not know that.
Drawing significantly more fans in a friendly ballpark experience than any league of its kind.
I thought the Cape Cod one was bigger than this one. Okay.
Oh, wow. There you go.
No wonder we're getting, they have ESPN rights now.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, no wonder they got that. I did not know they're the biggest.
Crazy.
So.
It's also been a valuable training ground for coaches, umpires, and front office staff. And get this, more than 280 Northwoods League alumni have advanced to Major League Baseball.
That's awesome.
Isn't that great?
Yes, it is.
That's so fantastic. So then, in 2005, the Mankato Moondogs welcomed a new addition to the team. I think this might be one of your friends.
It is.
Mutnick.
We hang out.
Mutnick. So you might be able to tell us more about Mutnick. Maybe off the air, we'll have to chat about Mutnick. But here is some information from the Moondogs website about their furry mascot. Quote, born in early March of 2005, Mutnick was soon enrolled in training at Me and My Master. After a full year of schooling, he returned to the Frank for the 2006 season and soon proved that he was indeed a top dog by showing off all of his new tricks. Besides shaking, rolling over, and fetching, Mutnick spent last season dancing the YMCA, signing autographs, eating birthday cake, and flaunting his baseball knowledge. This dog knows a bad pitch when he sees it. Although Mutnick's favorite place by far is the Frank, he has managed to make friends outside the park. He's marched in parades, visited company picnics, and played tag with the local youth. He's also developed a new love for reading and has visited area elementary schools to encourage everyone to participate in the Moondogs reading program.
That's fun.
End quote. So, yes, Mutnick has become a family favorite.
He really has.
Besides the guy that walks around in Zubas slinging beers.
Yeah, that guy's pretty he's pretty fun, too.
Yeah. I think his name is Stunt Monkey, but he's fun. He's even got stunt written on the back of his jersey. So, kind of some cool stuff. So, in 2020, in the fall of 2020, the Mankato Moondogs announced a new naming rights partnership with ISG, a Mankato-based architectural and engineering firm, to rename the facility to ISG Field, the third and current name of the ballpark that started out as Key City Park. In 2018, the 1967 facility underwent a series of renovations to enhance player and fan experiences and increase ballpark usage to include tournament play, recreational leagues, and other events. Some other improvements that happened during this time, state-of-the-art artificial turf playing surface, updated lighting, capacity expanded to 4,000. Remember when it first opened, it was 2,500?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Newly renovated concession stands, restrooms, locker rooms, hospitality spaces. There's a video board and digital scoreboard. I mean, it's all state of the art. And ISG Field was named, quote, the best renovation by Ballpark Digest in 2018.
We almost got named the best ballpark again this year. I think we're in like the top five this year.
Nice.
So, I mean, that ballpark, and I don't need to go on and on about it, but it's seriously such a beautiful ballpark that they've just continued to remodel, refresh. There's a few things out there that like, I don't know if I would have did it that way. But at the same time, families find their niche. They maybe don't like to sit in the stands. They want to go sit in the grass berm. Mm-hmm. And people just love it. And the newest thing out there is the cargo trailers, or whatever you want to call them.
Oh.
Cargo units, where they now use them as suites out there in right field.
Oh, yeah, that's
such
right.
Such a cool experience there, too.
Cool. I mean, it all started right here in 1967 with the Key City Park being built, concrete stadium being built to house the minor league team of the Mankato Mets. And now it's a summer destination for not only for these players that come from all over the United States, but also for everybody to come out and check the Moondogs games throughout the summer. So they've been playing here for quite a long time.
They have been playing here. And I mean, I remember playing high school ball, and when we got to the playoffs, we came to Mankato and played there for one game. I sat at the bench, but I was there. I was there, I tell you.
You were there. So, pretty fun stuff. We hope you enjoyed today's program as we explore the history of Key City Park, also known as ISG Field or the Frank, a local landmark. Now, next time you're at a Moondogs game, you'll know a little more about how the park was built by a group dedicated to the success and growth of Mankato and baseball. All of this information we share today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.